Hello, friends.
Hello.
How are we all doing?
Great.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing today? Some sleeping? All right. You know, it's I was thinking about this. It's interesting. Sometimes we come here Sunday and we do it out of the mechanics are Sunday, right, for us. It's just what we do. But we don't necessarily take the time to think about what is happening here. And why is it that we come together as a community? Some of you may think there's nothing really to do here, but I hope that's not the case. Not in Mount Air Christian Church, anyway. You may think that this is the holy hour or the hour of power. Remember last week we were talking about that? The hour of power. What are we really doing? What are we really doing when we come here on Sundays? What are you doing? And I ask that question in these two ways. On purpose. What are we doing and what are you doing? Because there's always this personal purpose for us to come. But that is only a reflection of what we are as a corporate body, as a people of God. And we will talk a little bit about that. But I think that your presence here has more to do with what God is doing than what you're doing. It is my prayer that the reason why you're here is because God is involved directly in your life. And because God is prompting your heart to come and mingle. To come and share life together. You've heard this before, right? God works in mysterious ways. To me, it is a mystery that we're here today. People from different places, from different backgrounds, from different areas of the nation, coming together. You know, I know that a lot of you have a lot in common. Years. Many years. I was speaking to Bea Hoxie yesterday, and she was mentioning about her life at Mount Air. I think that she started coming here when she was 2. She's 94 or 97, something. You know, that's a lifetime, right, of relationships. But even through that journey, I can see that sometimes we get disconnected. Even herself feels that way. So God works in mysterious ways. You see, first you made it here today. I don't know if there was going to be a lot of snow or not. I didn't know. I was ready this morning to take the shovel, you know, and shovel us ourselves out of the driveway so we could make it. But I'm glad that something motivated you to come here. Now, whether that was internal motivation or external motivation, you know, like when I was coming to church when I was a kid, it was all external motivation, right? The fact remains, we're here. Much like those who were in the synagogue that day, the fact remains, they were there. And they had made it there for a reason. They had come together for a reason. Maybe it was just the mechanics of it all, right? You know, the tradition of coming to Sabbath. Maybe some of them didn't even know why they were there. Maybe some of us don't. But they were. They were present. And as they were present, they were able to hear the words of Jesus. As he read scripture, he shared with them some of his thoughts. And as you are here today, maybe you'll react in a similar way. And we'll see about that. I hope not, truly. Because being taken to the, you know, to the edge of the cliff doesn't mean that people were too happy. But you see, we come to gather. We come to gather together. We come to praise. We come to worship God. We come to pray. We come to learn. So that we can go and show others about what God is doing in our lives. And how great this God is. I mean, we sang about it, right? How great is our God? I don't know, do you keep a list of how great he really is? The things that he has done? Maybe that's a good thing to do. Keep a list of how great this God is. You see, the people there in Galilee that day were folks like you and me. And they hear this man tell them something that was totally out of the ordinary. They heard Jesus say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Wow. Right, some kinds of words that were written in Isaiah. And he shouts them out to them and he tells them, "That's me." You know, and last week we were saying, "Hey, look at me," right? You know, "Look at me, I'm that. You know? In a society like the one that we are living in today, where the poor are not always welcome. Sometimes I want to know, you know, how was it that they saw all these folks that he mentioned there? How is it that the Nazarenes looked at the poor? How is it that they experienced those in society that were blind? How is it that they looked at those who were being oppressed? See, in a society where that is going on, where that is a happening, where that is something that is real and that is happening every day, the message that Jesus proclaimed that day is a radical message. Because at the time, I'm sure that there were poor people out there. And there very well may be, it was much like today. We don't think about the poor among us. And sometimes we just feel sorry. Oh, poor people, right? Poor folks who don't have this or don't have that. And when Jesus comes and says, "That's who I came for," that's pretty radical. Because the people in the upper echelons of society might be thinking, "What about me?" You know, did you just come for those? How about me? But then Jesus has the audacity to say, "Hey, this message is real today. Today is being fulfilled in your presence." So Jesus points to himself as a prophecy that's being fulfilled and as the source of salvation. The source of salvation. But if you hear those words well, he was not only the source of salvation for those who were educated, he was not only the source of salvation for those who were well off, but actually for the marginalized. For the ones that were a little bit outside of the society. You see, today we think of salvation as a ticket to ride, right? Don't we? No? What do you think about salvation? That you're going to go to heaven someday, right? I mean, if I got the ticket, I'm good. Well, Jesus was expounding on that a little bit. He was saying salvation is just more than just heaven. And this is a big part of what Jesus was teaching. Salvation is freedom. Salvation is rescuing. Salvation is redemption. Redemptive work for different people. Now note that at first the people that were hearing those words were really happy. They first spoke well of him. They even said, you know, he must be one of ours, right? Isn't that Joseph's son? He sounds like it. They were amazed at his words and the wisdom with which he spoke. And they even said, you know, this guy, he seems like he's one of our neighbors. He must be one of ours. But even when they were proud of the guy, that didn't end the same way. Right? How in the world it went from that to them wanting to kill him? I mean, it must have been a few minutes, right? It wasn't too long. And they're pushing him out of the synagogue and walking him out with the intention of killing them. How in the world did that happen? How did it go from an ordinary Sabbath or Sunday service to a lynching mob? Easy. It's really easy. The key word is truth. You see, those words, truly I tell you, truly I tell you, they are way more than what we think when we first hear him. Truly I tell you. But the truth is, you see, Jesus has this knack about how to speak with people. And those words make a difference. See, truth is uncomfortable sometimes, isn't it? Hearing the truth is not easy. When Judith, my wife, tells me that I've gained a little bit of weight, it really is not comfortable, to say the least. You see, truth is easy when it agrees with us, right? It's easy to hear truth when you say, yes. Yes, that sounds good. I'm with it. But when truth confronts us, when truth challenges us, when it creates a little bit of turmoil in our thinking, then truth becomes the adversary. Truth becomes that thing which we don't want to hear. Because nobody wants turmoil in their lives. I mean, don't we have enough already to deal with, right? Why do we have to be confronted with truth that really challenges us? Well, I guess Jesus thought different. I guess Jesus had a different agenda. I guess Jesus wanted to really take truth to them. And what was the truth? Well, I think that Jesus was able to see through their facade. You see, that's the key thing about Jesus here, is that Jesus could see through the masks. He could see through their hypocrisy. I don't know if you can call it their fakiness. You know? It's like he knew what he was coming. He said to them, doubtless you're going to ask me or quote me a proverb. I mean, why in the world would Jesus say, doubtedly you're going to do this? Most likely, you're going to confront me with someone, some of your expressions here. Doctor, cure yourself, right? You see, Jesus had already been doing some things in other towns. And Jesus already was carrying a little bit of reputation with him. So when he says this in the synagogue, I'm sure he was thinking, you know, these guys, I know my folks. He was from there. I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, you know, he has done these things there. If you're really that one, if you're really a prophecy that's being fulfilled, why don't you do some of your things, your miracles here? Right? Why don't you carry that so that we can see you? So he immediately deciphers that. And he also foresaw the next move that they were going to do by requiring him from him some proof. Right? You know, maybe the things that you did in Capernaum, why don't you do them here? I always want to see. And you see, and that's a hard one. I'll tell you what's hard about it. Jesus is trying to bring some truth to them because he wants to let them know that he knows. He had a sense of what were their ills. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really want everybody to know the things that I hail from, right? Some of those things are so private, we just don't want to show everybody that I am a sinner in this way. So, Jesus sort of knew what was happening in their culture, and he knew the truth about how they were treating their neighbors. He knew the truth about how the different people were looked at. You see, he had lived with them. And he had an understanding of where they failed in their tendencies. And he knew the culture. And he was speaking truth to the culture. Now he says two things to them. We'll go through this real quick. Don't worry, guys. 5 more minutes, all right? Those are Puerto Rican minutes, by the way. Two things. He says, you see Elijah, right? Very famous prophet. Actually, when they asked about Jesus, they said, is this Elijah? I mean, is this the one, right? You know, Elijah who's pretty prominent. The thing about Elijah is that he goes to a foreigner. When the things that were happening at the time, you know, they had 3.5 years of famine. He didn't go to one of the Israelite widows. He goes to a foreigner in Sidon. Now, Sidon was one of those cities that was hated by the Israelites. They hated these guys. They were like the Patriots. I was just kidding, but you know what I mean now, right? That was the intention. They hated them. You know, if you go back and read in Judges, you know, these guys, In the north part of Galilee, they oppressed them for many years. And God just freed them from all that. So they still had this stigma of being the bad guys, right? Yet, there's the greatest prophet in all the time of Israel staying with one of their people and blessing that woman and his child and being blessed by that woman. Why does Jesus say that? Why does Jesus bring that up to his kinfolk? Number two, Jesus then doubles down on what he's trying to say, and he calls up Elijah, not Elijah. You see, in Spanish it's so easy. Eliseo y Elias, you know. You can make the difference, but Elijah and Elisha, it sounds so similar. They're always confusing. But anyway, he was the protege of Elijah. And he brings up the fact that he healed Naaman. When there were so many lepers that could have been healed in Israel, he goes to a foreigner to heal them. Why in the world would Jesus point these two things out to them? Why would Jesus bring this up? In the midst of that declaration that he just did, why? I don't know if you get what's happening here. You see, Jesus was speaking directly to their conscience. The Israelites seemed to have been proud, snobbish. They had this attitude that they were better than others, you know, but because God is with us, right? That's a good reason. And sometimes they thought that because God was with them, they were a little bit above the law. They thought that they had something over the other. And we've spoken a little bit about this, you know, how in the north they had, the Canaanites. In the south they had the Samaritans, and they looked down at all of these people. They had attitudes. See, their nature was very much like ours. Okay, now comes the difficult part, please. I know when I started this sermon that it was going to be a difficult one. If you don't want to hear this part, if you don't want to hear the truth, then do this. It's okay. I know. You see, all these folks were being oppressed in their context. And it seemed to them that it was okay because they had been oppressed before by the others. So it was okay then to oppress them. You see, they had been pushed out of their place, of Israel. So it was okay to push others out. You see where I'm getting at? They, the Israelites, have been discriminated against for years. So they thought it was okay then to discriminate others. The marginalized. You see, when the Germans first started to come here to America, they weren't well received. When the Polish came to America, they weren't well received. When the Irish came to America, they were Catholics. So I was like, you know, come on, right? They weren't well received. Actually, they were treated badly. For people who have come here because of oppression elsewhere, to do the same thing doesn't seem logical. But man, are we good at it. Inevitably, you know, when these folks got established and start half second, third generation, it was okay for them, the Germans, the Polish, the Italians, the Irish, to do the same on the ones that were coming in. I think that that is the ill of America. The next foreigner, the next one to come, that's the target. You see the truth that Jesus is getting at? Can you hear it now? See, it's not easy to hear the truth. And it made them mad. It made them mad to the point where they were willing to kill this man, the one who had just declared that he was a prophecy coming alive right there to them. You see, the Israelites, or the Galileans, and specifically the Nazarenes, they thought that they were special. They even thought that they had gotten their own prophet. Right? Oh, now we have one. He's from ours, right? Now we got one. We got our John Elway, you see? And he's a Nazarene. But immediately, Jesus confronts them, lets them down. And he doesn't do that easy. He lets them know that his ministry is about something different. It's directed at them, but it goes beyond them. It goes beyond them to those who were poor, who those who were foreigners, who those who were being oppressed, who those who were from beyond Nazareth, from beyond Galilee, from beyond their limits, from beyond Judea and Israel. You see, his salvific ministry was available to all. And that declaration about the poor and the oppressed was for all kinds of folks. And they didn't like it. And sometimes, neither do we. But I'm going to say this. And again, I run the risk of you going home today and saying, I'm starting not to like this pastor. You see, just because we're Americans, it doesn't mean that we're the greatest people in the world or that we're better than anyone. Even if this was the best country in the world, it doesn't mean that you and I, as human beings, are better than anyone. Even the fact that we're in church, hello? Doesn't mean that we are better or above anyone else. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that's the attitude that we adopt. Oh, I'm in Christ, you're not. Yikes. You see, that's what Jesus was talking about. And when they heard his words, they were ready to kill him. So how do we react? I hope that you don't. You see, the question is, how are we going to reach others? How are we going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? How are we going to reflect the light that we have received? How are we going to let others made aware that there is one who came to set us free? How are we going to teach and serve others if we don't adopt Jesus' understanding of things? What are we to do? Well, one of the things that I know we need to do is to look at Jesus more carefully. We need to look at Jesus more carefully than the Nazarenes were. And also open our eyes to who he is and to who we are and to whom we need to be. sharing our lives and this message with. And maybe we need to ask God to change us. I know when I said we need to ask God to change you, you're saying, yeah, let him change. I don't want to. Right?
Let
God change. I've gone through enough change in my life. I don't need any more. No, maybe we need to ask God to change us, to change that thinking, to change that mindset, to change all those cultural messages that we had adopted and made ours. Because we are free. Because we were oppressed, but God has set us free. You see, Jesus is not just for us to be proud of him and for us to enjoy his company. Jesus is for us to be introducing him to others. It's for us to share him with the world. Colossians 3:12-14 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with meekness and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against the other, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Wow. Wow. Hey, look at me. Look at me, but look at me more carefully. That's what Jesus says. Look at me, I'm here. And I'm here because God has sent me to do something wonderful. But it's not like you think. And maybe some of these things are the ones we need to adopt. Now, this is the message of today. And I understand. I can be the foreigner too. I'm Puerto Rican. But I've considered myself part of this country because I am. I was born here. But there are so many out there that are not. I was talking to somebody the other day, and this is outside of what I wrote. He says, you know what it is to learn a different language? You know how difficult it is? Anybody? Even those with Latino background, right? Right, Michelle? And sometimes we're putting this stuff on others when we ourselves know better. This is a message about our ways of thinking. Sometimes our culture is defining us. Hello. Hello. It is time for us to redefine ourselves in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we may be able to hear your words with open hearts. That we may be able, God, to overcome our own sense of self. All the messages that we have adopted from our lifetime, some of them need to be challenged. Some of them need to be restated, reformed, reshaped. And for that, Lord, we need an open heart. And I pray, God, in this moment, that you may free us from our own oppression, that you may free us from our own chains that we have adopted through our lives. Help us to see you clearly, to think about you more intentionally, and not allow all these other messages to take over yours. In Jesus' name, amen.